And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Doe?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we are Jalen Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, Mr. Rose?
We give the people what they want.
Part of giving the people what they want is recording podcast exclusive content. This is an old school, just pod only episode. And we had Tobias Harris on the television show, but we didn't just talk to him on the TV show, Jalen. We recorded exclusive content with Tobias Harris. Here it is. All right, so now we do exclusive content with Tobias Harris on the podcast. This is not for the television show, so we can talk greasy now, Tobias. I saw that you had the Valentine's Day balloon in the crib. How did you celebrate Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, we were actually on the road. So, you know, when you're on the road, you got to make sure the stuff gets here on the 14th. And, you know, you're not here. But when I came back, you know, I obviously had, you know, balloons, the flowers. You know, I went to put this Venus E Flora, whatever. That, you know, those expensive flowers. So I had the nice box of those. So, you know, Valentine's Day been a little tough. You can't go out to restaurants and whatnot. So You gotta make it do what it do. So, you know, we had a great time.
So Tobias, they're holding the All-Star Game in Atlanta. Yeah. I've had a place in Atlanta for at least 20 years, and I can name every strip club backwards if I needed to. You guys are going to be there less than 24 hours. Do you think each of the players will have enough, I guess, motivation to stay in the room for that night in ATL?
I think that the NBA is doing the greatest job to limit guys from going out of that hotel. So if the game starts at whatever time, I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA just comes out and says, look, y'all just flying in for the game and you out right after. So that's how I look at that one.
They're going to escort you back to the airport.
Yeah. Everybody going to be coming in at like 12 and 1 in the morning. Wake up, eat breakfast, play the game and bounce.
Be out. That's how I look at it. That's how I think they may end up doing it.
Well, I'd like to say that me and Jalen have pretty good chemistry on camera, but we are the second duo in sports, obviously second to you and Boban. How much do you miss the Bobby and Toby show?
Man, I miss the Bobby and Toby show too much. I think, you know, me, I was just actually talking to him yesterday on the phone, and I said to him, I said, Bobby, we're going to do the Bobby Toby show this summer. He was like, yeah, but you lie. You lie all the time. You say you're not going to do it. So I said, no, we're going to do it this summer. We got to bring it back. But, man, just that it was so much energy and excitement with it. And I kind of just missed following Boban around different places and seeing, you know, he's always the most energetic person talking to everybody. And I'm just in the background like, hey, you want me to take a picture of you and Boban Shore? Like, let's go. You know? I miss that guy, though.
Yeah, I love Boban. So, also, I want to make sure I acknowledge, I believe, as I talked about, you will be an All-Star. It's well-deserved. The Nets got better this offseason. They got a big three now. KD, Kyrie, and Harden. Giannis is back-to-back MVP. They have Drew Holiday. We know what they're doing in Boston with Tatum and Brown, and obviously you guys have a terrific team. What do you now think about the new shape of the Eastern Conference?
When James Harden got moved over to Brooklyn, I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, this is excitement. You know, and that's why I felt like, you know, all the media and the buzz, it was just to really bulk up the story of what was about to happen. Then it goes to Brooklyn, another big market. But if you look at the East, you know, the way it's just shaping out, like, this is some really good teams. Like, if you just look now, you would say, all right, who gets in at the eighth seed? You know, you look at maybe a team like Toronto or Miami or Atlanta coming in at an eighth seed. So this is it's competitive. Obviously, the season's a bit weird. You know, you got guys sitting out, COVID and whatnot, but I think come playoffs, it's going to be a real, the most competitive that it's been in a long time, just with the talent level that you have from top to bottom. So it's going to be a fun experience. Hopefully, you know, at that time we can get fans back in the arenas and have, you know, sold out crowds. I doubt it, but we'll see what happens.
We will. And you mentioned the playoffs, and obviously in Orlando, in the bubble, your team came up short in the playoffs in a big way. What did it feel like? What were the meetings like? What was the discussion like about that sort of misstep in Orlando?
Man, that sucked, honestly. Like, it happened, and I felt like everybody just went their own way, like right after, for about a good month. And then like once we like seen the finals and everything go down, and we started like reaching back out. And then I think it was this moment of no one really knowing what was going to happen. Like when you lose first round, more times than not, it's like a reshaping of a team. You just don't know what's going down. And then, you know, Doc came along after when he was available. Daryl Morey came along, then the draft, and then things started shaping back up with some more excitement for the team that we had. And as soon as we came in day one, it was like the goal from the start wasn't a championship. It was we need to be first in the East, and we need to work our way. And Doc came and said that from jump. And he said, the only way we're going to get there is we got to work. So we had training camp, and it was like, I think we went like 5 days straight, and everybody's kind of like, everybody's like, man.
That's old school.
Yeah. They were asking me like, I thought Doc doesn't have training camps. I was like, I ain't seen this Doc yet. So then we just, so from there, no, he came one day, he was just like, I know y'all wanted a day off, but we got work to do, like real work. So, you know, that was just this mindset of a change. Like, we haven't done nothing. We just got swept, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is just a shift in the mindset from day one was the real change in this team. And, you know, Doc did a great job of that.
Doc and the Sixers probably didn't make their goals happen in the bubble, but that's the score of the game. I can't front. I was so proud to be an NBA member because y'all was winning the game of life with you guys' voices. And how I felt a sense of pride when I watched the game and seen Black Lives Matter on the court. I saw the 29 messages on the back of jerseys and how that shaped society, shaped the elections. It changed sports forever. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like? Because you were one of the loudest voices.
It was legendary, you know, and I don't say that lightly. Like that's something when I have kids, I'll really let them know. You know, if you just watch on TV in general, like entertainment, every show you watch has a message, right? And we never wanted to be just entertainers in a respect. We wanted to be entertainers, professional athletes that also had a goal and a message to push out there. And, you know, that takes, it really takes a lot of humility too, because when you look at, we're competitors, so it's even tough sometimes getting a group of NBA guys in a room just because you're like, man, he not better than me. He not better than me. Why don't we listen to him? You know, so but to have us all in a room communicating, talking of a bigger goal of, yo, like, we got to, like, we have families, we have members going through stuff. Like, we have to express ourselves in that type of way. We're just not, you know, some puppets out here doing whatever. So I think that you really saw a group of athletes and individuals come together for a greater good. And that was bigger than any NBA championship or any, you know, TV ratings can go. And that's special.
That's really well put. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on Jalen and Jacoby. You're welcome back anytime. And we look forward to watching you in the All-Star game in Atlanta.
I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all.
Anytime, family. Thanks a lot.
Jalen, before we move on, two things I want to bring to your attention. First, when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNPlus.com/giftayear for more details. And the second thing, Check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. On Thursday's episode, Bo talks to Slate's Joel Anderson, a fellow Texas native, about the winter weather wreaking havoc on the Lone Star State. Listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Want to thank Tobias Harris for coming through. He's going to the All-Star game, Jalen, right?
Yes, he is. Hey, now. You're an all-star. Get your game on.
Jalen, I like the way that he said that the NBA is going to make sure that the players do not get into any shenanigans in Atlanta, because I feel like they might just have a bus waiting for the players when they get out the locker room to take them straight to the airport after the game.
It starts way before that. I'm going to tell you when it starts. It starts Saturday. Between 6 p.m. and 12 a.m., that's when 24 multimillionaires, when those human beings land, what the NBA is going to do is monitor each person's flight pattern, and they're going to set up the transportation for that human being to get to the hotel. Once that player gets to the hotel, once they get to the floor, for some reason, the elevators ain't going to work.
Yep. They're not going to give them room keys.
You know, that's...
They're not going to give them room keys.
For some reason, the elevators just ain't going to work.
Like, no, yeah, you don't get a room key. We're going to walk you up to your room and let you in, and that's it. You can't leave.
And they're going to have security sitting by the elevator. They're going to have security sitting by the door. Like, they're going to treat this like it's a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate. They're going to protect the best interests of the players and of the bottom line. The game is going to happen. The dunk contest is going to happen. The other competitions get tricky because you now prolong the day. And what happens if you prolong the day, that makes other people now have to get there earlier. Remember the window I said between 6 and 12?
Yep.
Well, if we got a skills competition at noon, that now moves that window up for example, rookies or people who didn't necessarily make the All-Star game. So now, instead of getting to Atlanta between 6 and 12, they're going to be getting there between 12 and 5. And I'll tell you, an afternoon in Atlanta, sitting around in your hotel for a few hours, you don't have room service once or twice already. You're like, LeBron ain't even here yet. You know, I can go make a move real quick. You know what I'm saying? You start to justify it in your mind.
It was an afternoon. It was an afternoon in Atlanta in the early aughts, which was the very beginning of this program, this duo, Jalen and Jacoby. And that afternoon in Atlanta, at
Strokers.
I remember saying what's up to you in the bathroom of Strokers. And it was like 4 o'clock. And come to find out, I was still in the establishment at midnight. Still there at midnight. I had two meals. I had two meals at Strokers.
That's how it works. Change. Managers change. Dancers change.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Shift change. All that. I had two meals. Two meals. Dave Chappelle was in there. I'll never forget. I never saw Dave Chappelle, but they gave him the microphone at one point. They're like, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Chappelle's in the building. la la la. And they gave him the mic and they expected him to like do a shout out or like make a joke or something. He goes, "Where's my wings?" He was just yelling about his wings. He's like, "Oh, I ordered wings a half an hour ago. So give me my wings."
Oh, he's a legend, dog. And I like how, you know, for his professional pride, he took a major stance against the network. Yep. That 99.9% of the people wouldn't have courage to do. I just appreciate professionally how Dave Chappelle held to his convictions and his integrity. And if he felt like there were certain things that weren't right with the program and the writing and the direction, and they weren't willing to treat him like a partner, for him to walk away from his career the way he did and the money that was on the table was a noble move. And to see him reinvent himself and stand up to Netflix as they tried to air the show without him participating, I can't wait to actually watch the show again. And he's going to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite shows of all time. Like, this is one of the more underreported things in my life that's happening, is that Dave Chappelle's show is coming back.
Well, it was out, and he literally told people not to watch it. He's like, "Don't watch my show." And then people stopped watching it, and Netflix has the numbers. Netflix doesn't give the numbers out. Like, most like broadcast television, the numbers are public, but Netflix doesn't give you the numbers. And apparently they went so low that they had to open up their pockets and pay him. But one thing about Netflix and Dave Chappelle is they already have a big deal. Like, Dave Chappelle, he's making a lot of money from Netflix, and he could have easily just charged it to the game and said, "You know what, they're paying me, you know, 10 figures over here, so might as well just let him have my show." Nope, didn't do that. And I also think the fact that his name is on it, it's the Chappelle Show, he's like, y'all can't just be eating off something called the Chappelle Show if Dave Chappelle is not eating off it. Congratulations to him. The whole thing. Power to the people, man.
No question. And also, we talked to Tobias Harris about this, Jacoby. His father represented him and got him the highest deal negotiated by any parent in professional sports history, $180 million. He made more money than Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? As quiet as it's kept. And so that exposure, business-wise, for talented people and entertainers and athletes now gives you the opportunity to change the game in different ways. If you don't feel like you have the best agent or manager, or if you don't want to share the percentage of the money with them, or you don't feel like they're going to continue to manage you once you sign the deal type of thing. Now this is more commonplace, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And Jalen, I just thought of this now. I can't believe I didn't think of this before, but can I be your agent?
You might as well. I don't have one.
You don't have one right now. You need one. I know you trust me. Probably 10% of what you make is probably more than I make. So let's get it. Let's get it.
We got to talk about this off wax.
I got you, dog. I got you. I got some numbers in my phone. We can work something out.
All I want to know is this. If you're my agent, can you bring Uncle Sam to the negotiations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because yes. Those are the favors. I don't ask Uncle Sam for much. But when I need to, I will. He always texts me back. But once I ask him to come on Jalen and Jacoby, he stopped texting. I was like, okay, I get it.
Crickets.
Yeah. I'm texting him about golf, texting him about sports. Always hits me back like immediately. I'm like, "Hey, come on, Jalen Jacoby. I know you're not doing nothing during the panty." Nope, nothing. Crickets. Okay, got it.
Here's the one thing you'll say about Samuel L. Jackson, though. It ain't because he got free time. He always working. As a matter of fact, he done did more movies than anybody ever.
Always working. I remember.
So it ain't because he ain't working.
He explained it. He was like, "Yo, everybody else works 50 weeks a year, and people like celebrate me for working 50 weeks a year. But literally, like 85% of the people walking the earth are working 50 weeks a year. I just happen to be on films and make more money." And and I'm not gonna tell too many off wax stories, but this one I'm sure he don't mind sharing is at his crib, he's got a pool and he's got a pool house. And in the pool house is all of the posters for all of his movies. And there's just not enough space. Like, it goes from ceiling to floor. It goes from ceiling to floor, all the posters for all of his movies. And I swear he filled the whole crib with those, and there's no more space for it. Big shout to Uncle Sam.
Gave me
golf clubs. All my golf clubs got the Samuel L. Jackson juice. So I curse a lot when I play because I'm terrible. So Jalen Anthony Rose, can I get on the couch for a second? Love. I need to lie down on the couch because I need some therapy.
Yes, sir. Get on the couch.
I need some therapy, dog. Why don't I believe in the Utah Jazz?
I got you.
Why don't I believe in the Utah Jazz? They won 20 of 21 games, dog. 20 of 21 games.
It's not them. It is not them. It is not you, Rudy. It is not you, Donovan. I blame John Stockton and Karl Malone. I blame Jerry Sloan. I blame the history of the Utah Jazz. Because now when their name comes up, people like you, the first word comes to mind is boring. You don't care that they played 20 years and they had the greatest pick and roll of all time. You don't care about that.
Don't care.
You didn't care when the Spurs won 5 championships. No. I'd be like, Tim Duncan, you start yawning. You didn't want to talk about Tim Duncan on television. You were forced to do it. Because he was a great player winning championships. Because you said he don't say anything. And you're right. Doesn't say anything. Nothing. But those numbers is loud. Those numbers is loud.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And so you don't like Utah because they're not oohing and eyeing you like AI did Jordan. Or like dropping you to your knees like Harden when he was at the Clippers. Or dunking on people and doing 360s and lobs. You want to see that.
I love Donovan Mitchell. And I also blame, you know what I blame? I spent 3 weeks in Salt Lake City. And I have I have some issues with that city. A few of which are, number one, do you know that breweries have to brew special beer with less alcohol and ship that beer to Utah because of their laws? You can't go to a bar and say, can I have a shot and a beer? They say, we need to serve those to you separately, sir, because you cannot have two drinks in front of you. Do you know if you, like, they have laws against fun. It's almost like they had a big meeting with legislature and they were like, you know what? Let's just try to limit as much fun as possible. Big shout to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, though. Anyone who knows, knows. If you know, you know. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is fire television. Fire television. When you were on the, in the league and you were on the road, you're like, all right, we got a West Coast road trip. All right, I'm gonna go out in LA. I'm gonna go out in San Francisco and Oakland, but Utah's been on rest. Utah's been on rest. That's exactly what you said to yourself, didn't it?
Well, a couple of things. It varies on what point in my career I was in and who I played for. So my first couple of years, I was in the Western Conference. I was playing for Denver.
Yep.
So when I first got there, I didn't really like have a homie on the team to kick it with at the time. And so I just went to Utah. I kind of got the treatment that you got. Like, wait a minute. These rules are different. Got it. Okay, cool. I had a little, there's a little restaurant food joint that was kind of like, when you go to the mall, what do they call those? Food court.
Yeah, food court.
Yeah, so it's like at the hotel that we were staying, if you go through the lobby, it's like a big food court. So I caught myself eating there and whatever. And I was like, you know what? This is a wasted day. And this will never happen again. So after that day, I didn't make these terms up, but I do feel like I helped foster them and or popularize them. One of them, import.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely important. If you're going to go to Utah and you want to have fun, you import. Put the name on the room. Allow her to get a key. She can be in the room when you get there. You ain't got to worry about that. Room service, Netflix, chill, boom. Before Netflix. This is actually when... hotels actually have movies for sale. How about that? That's robbery, by the way. Hotel movies are robbery. Even though I only watch a couple, but still.
Okay. I still be checking out the movies. Because, you know, I got kids, so I don't get to see any movies. So I'll be at the hotel watching movies.
So, like, as a member of the Pacers, you only go to Utah once. And the surrounding Western Conference teams once. So that could become a baseball trip for you and your import. You could be the guy to try to have more than one import in different cities on the same road trip. But that's a lot of juggling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of flights, a lot of car services, a lot of, you know, if they run into somebody that's a member of the franchise. So you got to remember, you can't be like, oh, I'm Jalen and I'm walking through the lobby with an import and hey, Larry, how you doing? No, it don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? It don't work like that. That's a business trip. The team bought your ticket. The team bought your hotel. So what they don't expect you to do is party or have fun. So that got to be like off wax on the low, like stealth. And so I would set up a baseball trip, like, you know, kick it in L.A. for the late and the Clipper game, you know, kick it in Sacramento and then come on down to the Bay and check out the Warrior game, too. You know, like that, like these home and homes that they doing right now. And so later in my career, I realized I couldn't go as hard as I used to. So I'm like, all right, I'm playing for the Raptors. By the time I get to Utah, it's like I'm going to sleep. You know what I mean? I gotta go through customs. I got to, like, do it. Like, I need to recover. And then Howard Eisley, my brother, ended up playing for the Jazz. So now I got a chance to just go to Utah, go with Howard, and go over his house, have a good meal, watch the games, catch up with my brother. So I ended up loving going to Utah, and it ended up actually being one of my favorite trips.
Really? Oh, that was a nice 360. Because I didn't enjoy my time in Utah. I really didn't. But you know what? God bless. God bless Utah.
Yeah. Well, because he lived there. So now he's taking me to places that I would have never known about.
How do I say this? A lot more people look like me in Utah than look like you. Let's just say that.
Absolutely.
A lot more people in Utah look like me than look like you.
Two of the, I guess, more uniquely budgeted adult entertainment establishments that I frequent, it seems like happened in Portland, Utah, and maybe Milwaukee.
Huh.
It seemed like Portland. It seemed like it was like a barn almost.
Tell me about the barn, dog. Tell me about the barn.
Yeah, it was like a barn or something. What? Like, it's one, like, big open space.
No outlets in the walls. Like, yeah, no wiring. Yeah. Just, like,
yeah, wood. No windows. Yeah, yeah. No windows. Dark as hell in here. I'm like, hold on. Like, this is crazy. But, you know, guess what did happen? The music was playing.
Good.
And you know what DJs like? To be tipped.
Yep.
And then once you tip the DJ, and you like the music that's being played, you enjoy the place more. And then you know what else the bartender likes? To be tipped. For people to say please and thank you. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a better, more festive atmosphere in the barn. But it definitely was a barn. And this was way before COVID. No chance to get food. It was like, give me a little pamphlet to order something. I'm like, no, I'm good.
You gotta kill a chicken to get some wings.
Yeah, like, I'm good. I don't need to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Jalen. So one thing that's interesting about the Utah Jazz is usually when you have a team that's performing as well as they do, you have an MVP candidate or you have two or three all-stars. but they really do it by committee. Like, Donovan Mitchell's not in the MVP conversation. Rudy Gobert's not in the MVP conversation. Jordan Clarkson's the six-man conversation. But how many all-stars do you see coming off this Utah Jazz team?
You're going to like this answer. The same number they had last year. Two. Consistent. Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Just like the Lakers are going to have two. Just like the Clippers are going to have two. If you look at the Nuggets, they're going to have one. The yep. Joker.
Yep.
And so the West is stacked. And Utah is the most complete team in basketball when Anthony Davis is injured.
They really are. From top to bottom.
Most complete team in basketball. Like, nobody's going to know who Royce O'Neal is. Right? He's not a household name. But you know what he does? Play D.
42% from three. Something like that.
Yeah, play D. Yeah.
Joe Ingles. They got so many guys that shoot 40% from three. It seems like if you're putting on a Jazz uniform, all of a sudden you're shooting 40% from three. Everybody, Ingles and Bogdanovich and Clarkson and
Preach.
And O'Neal, like you mentioned, and of course Mitchell. They're scary. And I think people forget. People talk about the Nuggets run in the bubble because, you know, they came back and beat the Clippers and made a Western Conference Finals. But that Mitchell-Murray series
yes.
was easily the most exciting, the most titillating, the most can't-miss TV series of anything that happened in the bubble. Of anything that
Agreed.
Seemed like each one of them was just putting up 40 and hitting big shots during the stretch. And I remember Jamal Murray had like, I don't know, it seemed like he was scoring 10 points in the last 3 minutes of every single game. That was so much fun.
Agreed. So Utah, this team didn't have Bogdanovich in the bubble, and that's the difference. Jordan Clarkson got a new deal this offseason, so he's confident and comfortable. And so now you get the best version of a core group of players that, as quiet as it's kept, have played together now for a few years.
Yep.
And this is a team game. Yeah, and a coach that's been there that I've always said was one of the handful of teams in the league that I looked up each year and had an actual identity.
Yep.
They got an actual identity. And it plays out via Rudy Gobert because he's not an offensively charged center like the Joker. So, therefore, people can question, is he as much of the solution as he can be sometimes the problem? Well, everything Jokic is offensively, Rudy Gobert is defensive. Just think about it that way. And so they have that. And then Donovan Mitchell is dynamic. Like, he's dynamic. And he's not an MVP. He's not in the MVP conversation because the other guys that's in that conversation put up historic numbers. You know what I'm saying? Nope. Like, these dudes put up historic numbers, man. Like, the way these dudes be balling. So, again, I would be disappointed if Utah flamed out in the playoffs, but I don't anticipate that happening.
It depends on what their seed is, because if they get the number one seed, they're going to have a nice first-round matchup. So, you get out the first round, and they could play the 4-5, the winner of the 4-5 in the second round if they keep this up. But unlike the Clippers and the Lakers and the Nuggets, I feel like they need the number one seed. You know? Like they need that. And the Lakers, LeBron, remember when LeBron was on the Cavs and he was like, I don't even care what seed we are. He's like, I don't even care. Whatever. Home games, game one home, game one on the road, whoever the matchup is, it doesn't really matter. But I feel like with the Jazz this year, the only thing that I have to say about the Jazz that needs to change is this, Jalen Rose. Quinn Snyder needs to stop with the skinny jeans, man. Like, they're too tight. They're too tight. Too tight, Quinn. I really feel like that's holding them back. It's holding them back.
Or sound like it's holding them up.
I guess so. And we talked to Tobias Harris earlier, and I want to thank him for giving his time sharing with Jalen and Jacoby. And if you are the Sixers, and he didn't really say it, but you could kind of hear it in his voice, you're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Things are going good. And then all of a sudden you look down at the news and James Harden is on the Nets. And they're like, well, who'd they lose? Like, oh, LeVert and Allen. Like, if you're the Sixers, it did kind of feel like this was kind of your year, your destiny year after getting swept in the bubble. But you have to be concerned if you're the Sixers right now when you look at that Nets roster. Do you not?
Absolutely. And you talked about the matchups in the West. Seeding in the East is going to be paramount. That's why Tobias let us know that Doc stressed to them, we need the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
We need the number one seed. You avoid some landmines that way. And I'm going to just throw a team out there in the Eastern Conference that could easily upset the apple cart.
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Indiana Pacers.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
The best player in the NBA that nobody will ever mention is Domantas Sabonis. He's 6'11". He's left-handed. Yes, Sabonis. His father, Arvidas, once played in the league.
Can we? Can I say something, Jalen? I'm sure. Old enough to remember Arvidas Sabonis. And Arvidas Sabonis didn't just play in the league. He came to the league like sort of on the back half of his career. And I think he was at the peak of his powers when he was on the Trailblazers. But he was Jokic before Jokic. Like, people act like Jokic is a snowflake, like he's a unique unicorn. No, no, no. So Domantas Sabonis' father was Jokic.
Correct.
He really was. But continue.
Correct. And so, again, since they play in Indiana, kind of like I was saying about Utah, it's not considered glamorous. But a squad like the Nets, remember, I'm telling you this. Do not want to see the Pacers in the playoffs. They're everything that the Nets are not. They're tough on the interior. Yep. They're physical.
Yep.
They lead the league in blocks, and they grab two guys that grab every rebound in Turner and Sabonis.
Turner's been having
Remember I said that?
Yep. And don't sleep on this. Don't sleep on this, Jay. Too. Jay, like, he obviously, you know, they – when they took his physical, they found cancer and he had a procedure and he's not playing right now. But Caris LeVert,
ding, ding, ding,
Caris LeVert
ding,
might be available
ding,
come the playoffs.
Ding, and ding,
you forget
ding.
That same Nets team that you're talking about, Caris LeVert was putting up 30 in the bubble. He was putting up 30 ding. In the playoffs.
And how much would he love to play in
Preach.
The playoffs
Preach.
Against his former team? So I'm just planting that seed as it now gets talked, once it starts getting talked about by mainstream media, this is why you listen to Jalen and Jacoby. And so Tobias was right. They should look to secure the number one seed. But the reality of it is, on paper, the Nets are a problem for them, dog.
Yeah. The Nets are a problem for anybody. I don't even care. Like, I don't care how many games they lose. I don't care how many times that they give up 130 points to whoever, because the thing that people don't talk about the Nets, teams over 500, and I don't have the numbers in front of me because, you know, I don't really research or prep. They're like 10 and they're like 10-1, Jay. I think they're like 10-1. I want to say 9-1, 10-1 against Western Conference teams that are now in the playoffs. I think they're 8-0. Like, when they need to show up, they show up. And after they lost in last week when they had that game, I think it was against the Wizards, when they need to play D, everyone's talking about how they don't play D. They were locking down in the first half. Like, you could tell that they went out and decided to play defense. I believe in this Nets team. I'm picking the Nets out the East. I'm picking the Nets out the East right now.
Just as an NBA fan, like, a matchup I want to see in the playoffs is Nets versus Celtics. I want them to play against each other this year. Every year is not the same, clearly. But I would be interested to see how Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker compete against Kyrie, how Jaylen Brown would compete against Harden, and Tatum trying to be a young version of Durant going back and forth, and neither team really getting a lot of stats from the five spot.
None, yeah. I agree. I think Marcus Smart would be the key player in that series, because you're going to need 40 minutes from Marcus Smart, and he's going to need to be on Kyrie, on James Harden, on the ball, and shooting, you know, 3 for 6 from 3.
Can I say something that other players in the league kind of was like, hey, dog, you got to stop saying it. You've been saying it for years and they ain't pick up on it. So, but I'm going to say it again. Like, some of these guys are so elite at basketball. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, that when they show up and play their best, you're not going to win. So, like, being out there with Mike and Scotty, Shaq and Kobe, like, yeah, I can feel like I'm playing my best. What's the song? I guess my best wasn't good enough. And so the reason I bring that up is we could resort to other things that also affect how people perform, like trash talk, like physicality. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is dislike. The only way somebody's going to beat LeBron James unless AD's hurt. And again, I was saying this for years, but I guess nobody's picking up what I was putting down because LeBron was getting cats around the league, million dollar tips and putting them in movies and Rich Paul representing them. But like, when was the last time you seen somebody get in LeBron's face?
Day-Day.
You know what I mean?
Draymond. Like, and Draymond's correct. Been clutch now too.
Correct. And so he what did I used to say about the Eastern Conference? LeBron
disarm.
Dismantle.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Disarm or dismantle his opponents. And so that's the only way you're going to beat them if they're healthy. And so in the East, I can't say that about the Nets because they have, while they do have a big three, I don't consider them a super team because this year they're still flawed.
Mm-hmm.
They're still flawed. The Eastern Conference now has legitimate star power. Yeah. I said like a couple of years ago, it should be like 17 or 18 players from the West and like 6 players from the East in an All-Star game.
Not anymore.
And that's a great thing for the league.
And I think you bring up a good point when you say if someone's playing their best, you're not going to win because you can look at all the film and you can come up with all the schemes and you can do all the prep and all the game plan. But if you're playing the Nets and any one of Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant.
Preach.
Any one of them can just decide to put up 45 and you're not going to win.
You're not going to win.
You can have the best plan. You can be so prepped. You can look at all the film. You can have the analytics department working overtime.
Hey, man, Seth Curry could be 7 for 9 from 3, dog. Kyrie getting hot is a different level basketball player. You know what I'm saying? Like straight up. And so, man, I can't wait for the Eastern Conference playoffs, and I haven't said that in a long time.
That's a good point. Because there are just a lot of times in the Eastern Conference, the top 4 teams are contenders and the 5 through 8 teams are just, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, like you got Orlando in there, you know, like that like Orlando, like you can kind of like pencil in those games. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, I won't watch that one because I know it's going to happen. I'll wait for the second round before I really lock in. But I think this year there is top to bottom some really interesting stuff. And one thing people are sleeping on the play-in games. We're going to have playing games. I don't think that's going away. I don't think that's ever going away. I don't think it's ever going away.
And the home and home shouldn't go away either.
No. I think that's a good point. I don't think either of those will go away. And Adam Silver listens to the podcast every single day. So he always listens to us. So he knows both those things. And
how about this? I appreciate you, Adam Silver. Like Jacoby just said, we know you listen to the pod. Thank you for taking the time to reach out to me and my family during this difficult period. I appreciate that. The league right now, like, and I'm talking about superstars, stars, you know, really good players, really skilled players, young players who didn't make the playoffs last year that are emerging like Zion this year, is in the best place that it's been since Jordan retired.
Man, I never think about it like that, but I think you're right.
Because, like, I could go deeper into the box score and start naming people. You'd be like, oh, yeah, Devin Booker is in the league. Okay, mm-hmm. They went in the playoffs last year. Like, oh, dang. Like, word. You know what I'm saying? Zion averages 30. Zion averages 30.
Like, Luka Doncic is fighting for a playoff spot right now.
Right. Luka's on the worst team in the West. Depending on what night it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, the league is rough right now. Rough. There's only a couple of gimmies now.
It's in the Western Conference. It's the Thunder and the Timberwolves. And that's kind of it. That's kind of it. Like, those are the kind of the only gimmies in the entire conference.
Yeah, and it usually be like about 5 to 8 teams that are gimmies. It ain't that many this year.
Kings could be part of that conversation.
But no, they're a gimme. Yeah. They're a gimme.
Kings, Thunder, and again, whenever we do lists on this program, we're always incomplete. We've never hit it. We've never, ever completed a list in 10 years on this show. Never once. No, you know what? That happened once. One time we did complete a list, and you don't remember which one it is. You want to know which one it is? The only list that you've ever been accurate.
Prepared, we wrote it down. Research. Oh, yeah, strip club.
Strip clubs in Atlanta. That's the only list that you've ever taken seriously in the history of this program.
Yeah, I had to get focused, dog. It's essential work.
You're calling a timeout. You're like, hold on, we can't start yet. I got to do some research.
Hey, man.
We be talking about game 7 of the NBA Finals. You'll do no research. You'll just watch the game and go off top. But if we're listing Atlanta strip clubs, you need to get the night right, the name right. The menu. Good for you.
So, Giannis is the back-to-back MVP and is averaging 30 and 15 this year.
Not in the MVP conversation. Not even in the top five. You name your top five players in the league, and Giannis is averaging 30 and 15, back-to-back MVP, not part of your top five.
How about Steph Curry? They might not even make the playoffs.
Steph Curry could be having his best season of his career.
And they might not even make the playoffs.
No.
I got more for you. Don't Dame still play in the league?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Dalla, our guy, carrying Portland on his back. And you know where they at in the West? Struggle zone.
And people just
any
forgot.
Bad week?
People just forgot about the Clippers, too. People don't talk about Kawhi. People don't talk about the Clippers.
Correct. Good point. I brought up Kawhi on the show today, and Reg was like, Kawhi? I'm like, yeah. He only averaged 30.
You can't score on him. You can't score on him.
Here's when you know that the team that you root for is what we quote-unquote call a gimme. I'll tell you when. When the Nets come to town and all three of them ain't playing. When the Clippers come to town and Kawhi or PG ain't playing. That's when your team is a gimme.
Yeah.
Unless it's a back-to-back. Unless it's a back-to-back.
So
when I was at the game in Detroit, no KD, COVID.
Well, we got tonight we have Lakers Nets. And I haven't been this excited for a regular season game in like 2 years. I'm so excited for this game. I really am.
Nets you are excited about this game.
I you know what? I'm gonna make a prediction. You know I don't like to predict games. I think Nets are going 5-0 on this West Coast trip. They beat the Warriors. They beat the Kings. They beat the Suns. Had a big comeback win. I feel like they're going to beat the Lakers and the Clippers in Staples Center. The only thing that could hold them back, James Harden got too many people on his phone. James Harden got too many people on his phone in L.A.
But here's the thing, though, dog. He used to fly in at 35,000 feet and having to put up 40, 50 mm-hmm. every night for his team to win. Now he can walk and get 25, 30 and get 10 or 15 assists. So he got more time on his hands since you've been away, boy. So he can still do what he got to do. And L.A. closed it, too.
And let me say something, Jalen. Because he said this to Rachel Nichols, and I think it went over a lot of people's heads. Is James Harden's reputation is playoff flame out. Great regular season basketball player, playoff flame out. And I really feel like it's because all those minutes, all those games when he had to score 35, 45 just to get the win, doing that for 82 games, and then you just get fatigued when you get to the end of the season. And I feel like he doesn't have to be in fifth gear with his foot to the floor to go through the regular season when you've got Kyrie and KD on your team. And I'm predicting a big playoffs from James Harden this year.
Well, you know who don't get fatigued when the playoffs come? All-time great players.
Fair.
And so that's when you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, can I actually be the best player on a championship team? And at some point, Anthony Davis, James Harden looked in that mirror and was like, nah, ain't getting it done here. Where's KD? Where's LeBron? And they forced their way to those cities so badly. And I mean, like, they wanted it so badly. They ended up alienated the team that they made their name with in the process. But the ring is worth it. AD wouldn't trade a thing. Mm-mm. He would wear that That's All Folks shirt in a medium if he had to, if he knew he was gone. Win the championship in his first year with the LA Lakers.
There's going to be no statue of Anthony Davis outside in New Orleans, and he's fine with that.
He's totally fine with that.
Yeah. He is fine with that.
You got to get your new team to embrace your legs. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, they took all James Harden's jerseys down to every strip club in Houston.
They did.
They took them down.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Man, I love doing these podcast exclusive shows, but one thing I don't want to get sidetracked from is hearing from you, our audience. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is listening to people. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, 985-80-JALEN, you leave us a voicemail. We'll answer your questions on the show because we always want to hear from you like this.
Jalen and Jacoby, what up, though? Andre calling from Nashville, first-time caller. First and foremost, shout-out Reg. All right, guys, so I got a softie for Boston for you guys. My fiance and I are getting married in a couple of months. Already had the engagement photo shoot. And with that photo shoot comes a boudoir photo shoot, which is pretty much just like a sexy photo shoot. And she gives me the pictures before the wedding. So her friends would like her to wear one of my Cowboys jerseys with another man's name on it. This is a complete non-starter for me, but her friends really want her to do it. So, guys, soft move or boss move? Letting your girl wear a man's jersey with another man's name on. Let me know.
Whoa. Big shout to Andre. First of all, I got married. You got married. I didn't get no boudoir photo shoot. Did you?
Congratulations. Yeah. No.
I didn't get a boudoir photo shoot.
No, she's taking care of business. You got your good one.
Good for her.
Hey, you need to hurry up and marry her. Don't wait till next week. See if y'all can move that up. See if y'all can move that up. See if you can do that this weekend. You need to hurry up and do that.
It sounds like...
You got a good one. Congratulations.
It sounds like she's really preparing for this. Like, they got some friends involved. They're having Zoom calls about the boudoir photo shoot. They got plans for different outfits and whatnot. And I'll say this. There's your love of sports and your love of the Cowboys, Andre. And then there's your love for your fiance. I think those two things don't need to intersect. Those two circles don't need to intersect. You know? Like, you don't need to be thinking about Ezekiel Elliott when you're thinking about your fiance. Those two circles don't need to intersect. I would say no jersey in the boudoir photo shoot. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
Well, here's the make sure I stress. He didn't say that she wanted to wear it. He said her friends wanted her to wear it. Once you get married, their opinions change. You're the husband now. Y'all a team. Ride or die. Each decision is a we, not a me. And while she can clearly wear what she wants to wear anywhere at any time, I would ask you to kindly suggest / beg that she does not wear a jersey with another name on it. Now, let me tell you what would be fly if she was adamant about wearing the jersey. It should have you or her favorite number and y'all's last name on the jersey.
There you go.
That's the compromise as well.
Doug, hey, sometimes you drop gems and you don't
realize it. Let us know how it goes. And congratulations.
Jalen, you know I don't like to celebrate you too much, but I love you so much. And sometimes you drop gems and you don't even realize it. When you said kindly suggest slash beg, that just encapsulated my entire relationship with my wife. It's like kindly suggest slash beg is basically every word that comes out of my wife and my mouth towards my wife. I'm kindly suggesting slash begging for whatever it is that I need. Really appreciate the call,
indeed.
Andre. Congratulations to you and your fiance. Shout out to you for getting a boudoir photo shoot in the first place.
Absolutely.
I can't even get my wife to text me a nude. You know? I'm going to text her right now.
Well, she probably like going to the archives. Don't you got a museum?
She gonna send me a photo of someone else. I literally just texted her asking for a new photo. She ain't gonna respond.
She sent you a picture of somebody else.
Yeah, she can send a picture of Gisele Bündchen. Here you go. Here's a nude photo. Let me Google that for you.
So welcome to Married Life, my brother. Congratulations.
We got time for one more voicemail. We always like to hear from you. Don't forget to call 9580-JALEN and leave us a voicemail like this.
Jalen and Jacoby, what up, though? Your boy Lefty, 314. Shout out St. Louis. Shout out Reg. Shout out Jalen. Shout out Jacoby. Thoughts and prayers to you, Jalen, for your family. Rest in peace to your mother. Just got a quick soft move, a boss move for you guys. My lady brings me lunch every day to my job. Well, not every day, but a few times a week. And every time she asks me what I want, she messes up the order. So she'll text me and ask me what I want to eat, and I'll tell her, and she'll mess it up. So soft move or boss move, not complaining about the messed up meal, but still having a messed up meal. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the show. Shout out everybody that works on the staff. Shout out everybody holding it down at the crib during the panty. Shout out Jacoby for that hips lingo for the panty. Peace.
Yo.
I love it.
There are so many things I want to discuss about this call. We might have to do a podcast for 2 hours just to talk about this phone call. Number one. There's something I've been noticing about this program, right? We got like a dozen people to work on the show, and they work so hard, and they all individually contribute to whatever Jalen and Jacoby is. It just happens to be our names and our faces on it. And Reg getting too many shout-outs now. Like, you used to have to give Reggie a shout, but now he getting top billing now. Like, you notice that no one ever says shout-out Jacoby, shout-out Jalen, shout-out Reg. They always start with Reg. I'm getting jealous of Reg now.
Boom. That's all that conversation was. I'm glad you got a chance to get that therapy off your chest, dog. Good for you, dog. Like there had to be times when I played with other great people and I was balling and they had to go explain to their family and their agent and their coach why Jalen putting in work and they not. Like, I understand, dog. I understand, dog. This weekend, people going to be watching Countdown and complain about everything I say, complain about everything I wear. And I bet not. I better get a haircut. Oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
If I don't have a haircut this weekend, I'm gonna be trending for all the wrong reasons.
You ever score 35 points, but after the game, the PR people would grab Reggie Miller and be like, "You gonna do the interview?" It's like, yo,
yes.
It's like I scored 35. Yes. Reggie was 6 for 15. Oh, that's how I feel about Reg. Okay, second, I'll say this. I just texted my wife to ask for a new photo. She didn't text back, and she would not even send me a photo of her titties. She's definitely not getting lunch and bringing it to me at work. Like, yo, that is ride or die. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you ask for. I don't care how wrong the order is. You could ask for a fried chicken, and she brings you a granola bar, then that is a win. Taking time and effort out of her day even to ask you what you want and then acquire some nourishment of any sort from anywhere and bring it to your place of work and then leaving it for you, dog, that is I'm speechless. Jalen, how many times have I brought you lunch? How many? Name him. Name him.
Zero.
Zero times. Zero times. Zero times have I gone and got food and said, you know what? I bet my brother is hungry as well. Let me get some for him too. So the idea that your wife is doing this is absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And I don't care if you asked for no tomatoes on the burger and the tomatoes came on the burger. That is the least of your concern. That is that, Lefty, you have yourself a real one. A real one. If I ask my wife, right now to bring me lunch, like she would just laugh. She'd laugh.
Lefty, right now, thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. You know I'm left-handed too. Let me just say a couple things. I actually work with my wife. She has never, ever, ever given me food.
Never.
And David Jacoby right now is at the South Street Seaport. When you leave that building, Jacoby, I want you to look into an office that has two rows names up on it. And I want you to see if it looks like a shared space at all.
Yo, because... Let me tell you something to happen. She locked the door, dog. She locked the door to the office. You can't even get in there right now. You don't even know how to get in. You got an office with your name on it that you can't get in. She locked the door. I went to go make a phone call because you know, I don't got an office. I ain't big time like Molly Karen Rose and Jalen Anthony Rose. I got a cubicle. So I was like, oh, let me pick up this phone call. Try to get into Molly's office. Notice what I call it, Molly's office. Locked.
Hey, fam, she got a refrigerator in there.
Yup, fridge.
Got all like smoothie drinks.
Yup.
And nothing like nothing. It's not like nothing for me. It's not like, no, hey, you know, he's from Detroit. I'm going to get him a couple of burners.
There's one item in there that seems like it's for you. She's got apple cider vinegar tea.
I appreciate that, Moss. And so to Jacoby's point, and of course, everybody that listened to this program, it's a family-oriented show, so good days, bad days, you know, we try to bring you behind the curtain. We, as public figures, make sure that we don't let you guys only see our highlights. So Jacoby will talk to you about, you know, his wife carrying twins or some issues with the kids or whatever. He'll talk to you about asking his wife for nudes. I talk about, you know, the untimely passing of my mom and things that happened in my life. Because it's important that you guys understand that we're authentic. So many times when people start to, like, have celebrity or fame, they dismiss their personal, like, lives from their public to protect themselves in a lot of ways, but also to craft the image. And we want our show's image to be genuine. And so... if you, dog, Lefty, got a significant other that's bringing you food every day, lunch, you know what you do?
Once a week?
Dog, let me tell you something. You keep texting her what you want. And if she mess it up, you might need to get her some glasses or teach her how to read.
That was just a joke. I didn't think you were going there.
That was just a joke. All jokes. In all seriousness, you just eat the food and don't say anything. That's what you do.
You say,
don't say anything.
You act like she went above and beyond. You cannot. You can't have notes.
You act like she just gave you a $400 million lottery ticket.
Exactly. Yo, I'm so impressed and just so happy for Lefty and this young lady because it's so foreign to me to go that far out of your way for someone else, you know, because you're a nice person, Jalen. You're kind, you're generous. Like, I don't have that. I've got a deep, dark, dark, dark heart. I barely care about myself enough to get myself lunch. Yeah. But man, let me just say, Lefty, that is an excellent, excellent, excellent service that she provides for you. And no matter how messed up it is, you always say thank you. And that is real love.
One other thing, though. Hold on now, Lefty. I want to also give you some game. Ding, 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 ding. It's two sides to that coin, brother. And everything we just said and how you should salute her, represent her, and appreciate her for doing that, she knows that other people ain't doing that for their men, too.
Fact.
So, therefore, what you must now do when these conversations come up and y'all around family and y'all having drinks and one of the pet things that y'all relationship has is that she loves you enough to bring you food, you gotta now create one that you do for her.
Fact.
That's how this works. So hit us back and let us know what you're now doing in return to reciprocate her bringing you lunch multiple days a week.
Jalen, I want to conclude this episode of the podcast exclusive with an update. I texted my wife, can I get a nude photo? She texted she texted back.
This is hilarious.
LOL. And then wrote, sure. And then didn't send a photo.
Like, sure.
Yeah, she's like, sure, yeah, if you want one, you can have one. Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm going to send it to you. Yeah.
Hey, dog. But y'all been together almost 20 years. In her mind, you got a museum, dog. You got
She's like, you know what I look like? We live together. What do you need? She's like, yeah, you can have a photo. Doesn't mean I'm going to give it to you. You can have one. Oh, man. Jalen, thank you for taking the time. These podcast exclusive episodes are always so therapeutic for me, and I appreciate you.
Yes, indeed. That's mutual. And I appreciate all the condolences and well wishes to everybody, to myself and to my family. And I'll just give you a quick update. Like, I've been dealing with my pain and losing my mom and my brother, my grandmother and my uncle recently, matriarchs of the family, by staying busy. Like, busy work, cleaning up stuff, like running errands, working every day, haven't taken a day off, that type of thing. The OG Tommy on the show, Jacoby's done it, Michelle's done it, people that are close to me and my family have done it, that love me. I will be taking some J days.
We need those, dog.
I will be doing the show. Yes, go ahead.
I don't want to hear from you for 72 hours. I want you to go away for 48 hours, dog.
I'm going to go away for 48 hours. And when I submerge, I'll likely be in an undisclosed location doing the show for a couple of more days. I haven't decided. Let me tell you, the number one deciding factor of the trip, besides COVID, clearly, is the weather. Got to be warm. I just need to go somewhere where it's warm. You know, if I'm going to be shedding tears and listening to the Temptations and LTD and the OJs and trying to get my mother's affairs in order and returning texts and emails and thank you cards, and I need to be somewhere warm.
Yeah, man. Get them ugly ass toes out. Let those ugly ass toes out breathe.
Exactly.
Man.
Yes.
Get them toes in some sand. Yes. You
I'm
know.
I'm going to point in every different direction. Yeah. Toes pointing all different directions of the sand.
Yeah, I don't even want to know where you are, man. As much as I want to see you, I don't want to see you. You need some J days, man. Take those.
Done and done. So thank you guys for the support. But we're going to make sure this therapy continues to happen, and we're going to make sure we get the people what they want.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We are 59 minutes and 40 seconds into a throwback pod. We're not done.